We are up to page Samach Beis. Samach Beis, Halacha Yud Aleph. Can I say? We're up to page Samach Beis, Halacha Yud Aleph. Ein Chos, L'mishra Eval Midoisav. Now he's coming to elaborate upon the meaning of a Chos. We learned yesterday the translation of a Chos. And we learned yesterday of the Sefer Chassidim. He says one thing only. A chassid comes from the word the ace hachassida. It is a non-kosher bird. And the non-kosher, the Targum translates the hachassida as a white bird. Thus, the Sefer Hachassidim derives that the translation of a chassid means white. What does white have to do with being a chassid? It means he's a baishan, a person who allows himself to be embarrassed. Meaning, how does a person allow himself to be embarrassed? There's only one way possible, when you recognize the truth. If you're in denial and you reject Musar, you'll never get embarrassed, because it's just water off a duck. It's not me. Who are you criticizing? You have the wrong guy. I have done absolutely nothing wrong. The only way a person can turn white from embarrassment is when they recognize indeed that they are guilty. A person that opens up himself to be Mekabel Musar and to allow himself to turn white in recognition that he has failed, he has made mistakes, that is the true definition of a chassid. It's a very novel interpretation. It's not what we are familiar with. We are more familiar with the interpretation of the chassid, the person that does kindness, that goes lefnei mishur sadin. Can Rabbi Yisrael could please ask for a rule decorum, Rabbi Yisrael? So this, the chassid again, this is his novel interpretation. Then we learned in the footnotes. The footnotes, he gave us other interpretations, which means to do kindness. It means to mecherpa. It means a disgrace. All different things that we discussed yesterday. We're not going to review now. Now he elaborates a bit more. Ein chassid elamisha over al midosaf. He's now appearing. He seems to be saying another concept. In addition to accepting shame and embarrassment, and also he's over al midosaf. He is forgiving. Who was the ultimate forgiver? Well, that's the very big dilemma now. Yosef HaTzadik. It was known in the history of Klal Yisrael that was a greater victim of abuse than who? Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was the Shiftei Kah. The brothers, they wanted to kill him. What more could you possibly want from that? They threw him into a pit. The pit was full of scorpions and snakes. He could easily have died. And then to add insult to injury, they sold him as a slave to Mitzrayim. What kind of life would that be, to be sold to Mitzrayim, to be separated from his father? They took his kesonis pasim, they dipped it in blood, and they presented the kesonis to his father. Hakerno, is this the tunic of your son? They've done extreme things. And Yosef, it appears, let's assume for the moment, and we're going to discuss in detail, forgave his brothers. How do we know he forgave his brothers? Let me just tell you, let's cut to the chase now. This is a very interesting idea. Nowhere in the Torah does it say that he forgave them. Nowhere. Does not say in any Maamar Chazal, in any Pasuk, that Yosef said explicitly to the brothers, "My brothers, I forgive you, Belev Shalem, for what you have done to me." And that opens up the question, did he forgive them? Did he not forgive them? But there's one thing you cannot deny. He never took revenge. He never took revenge. And number two, he was good to them. He sustained them. He supported them. He was kind to them. You can argue, and I believe that's over here what the Bris Olam is coming to allude to. We'll have to go read the words more carefully. Mechila, talk is cheap. You know, we see sometimes someone does an avla, and then they come back and they say, "You know, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Do you forgive me?" And the avla, the harm is much, much greater than the sincerity in asking mechila. The person did a terrible, terrible thing. And then he says, "Oh, you know, I really should not have done that. Remember what happened a year ago? You know, let's make up. I'm sorry. Do you forgive me?"
I think the forgiving person also was very cheap. You know, he said, "Oh, you're forgiven."
Exactly.
I think both exactly. ways...
Is, and then he said, "Yeah, yeah, machalach. I don't want to get into it. Yeah, machalach, machalach, machalach. Let me ask you, is that really called forgiveness?" On the one hand, I don't know the answer. On the one hand, the words came out of your mouth. Please forgive me. Number two, he responded, machalach, machalach, machalach. So, you know, in halacha, if the words come out of your mouth, to a degree, you have accomplished something. But mitzad sheni, does the person really forgive him? Not really. Yeah, whatever, whatever, whatever.
I think the attitude is just to move on.
Move on.
That's all.
Is that called forgiveness? Is that what the Torah, is that what we are familiar with? I don't know the answer. I don't know if anyone knows the answer. I know someone that actually said this to the person. The person went and did a terrible avla. I know you don't believe my stories, but I'm telling you the true stories. I can't tell you the details because it's part of my family, but I know someone that did to someone in my family a really, really terrible avla. And he came and he realized it, and he came back and he asked Mechila. And this other member of my family said to him, yeah, I'm Meichel you. I'm telling you I'm Meichel you, Bepeh. But I'm also telling you is, I don't really know if I'm Meichel you. I can tell you, Bepeh, I'm Meichel you, but you've caused irreparable damage, and I can say to you, I'm Meichel you, and I question myself, is that, I'm speaking out my thoughts to you. Am I really Meichel you? I'm telling you that I'm Meichel you. But, you know, and you don't seem to be too sincere in your request to ask Mechila. You don't really think you've done anything wrong. The only reason why you're asking me Mechila is because since I think you did something wrong, so you're coming to satisfy me. Is that really called a request of Mechila? Is that really called a Mechila? So that's what someone in my family told this other person who was very, very horrible story, whatever the situation is. But here, one thing you cannot deny. Yosef HaTzadik was very kind to his brothers. When the brothers came down to Egypt, he took them, he took care of them, he put them in Eretz Goshen, he brought to Paro, he was very careful who he presented in front of Paro, he exempted them from taxes, they were supported. He was good to them. He actually went out of his way to be especially kind to his brothers. No, even if Yaakov died, how could you say that? They were afraid. All it says in the Torah was that after Yaakov died, they came, they bowed down to him, and they lied. Your father said that you should forgive us. V'chulu v'chulu. And Yosef said, don't worry, nothing's going to change. I'm going to continue supporting you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. He said to them, nothing will change. He didn't say the words, I'm Michael you, but he said to them, everything is good. And Chazal tell us, the Medaktik and the Psukim, that Yosef did not deny them any good for the remainder of the time that he was alive in Egypt. So isn't that the ultimate Mechila?
Yes.
No. Don't actions speak greater than words?
Yeah, no.
So you can argue that Yosef was Mechel them much more than we're Mechel one another. Because when we're Mechel one another, we just talk as cheap. We say to each other, yeah, Mechel you. I don't ever want to see you again the rest of my life. And I'm Michael you, but listen, get out of here. I don't want to ever see you again. Yosef lived with his brothers. He supported them. He was good to them. He never said the word. We don't find in the Chumash that he said the words, I forgive you, but his actions speak much louder than his words, than his absence of words. Isn't that not an argument you can make that he was Michael them to the ultimate degree? On the other hand, Chazal tell us, okay, this is what you're alluding to, Mr. Rappaport, is that why do we suffer the Asara Harugi Malchus? Why do we suffer? We go through all these whole long list of things over here, all these terrible things that happened to Klal Yisrael, even the blood libels. Why? Because of the chait of Mechiras Yosef. If Yosef was Meichel them, and the proof is that he was so good and kind to them, right. So why then do we still suffer Ad Hayoy Mazeh from the Chayim Mechiras Yosef? So you want to say there are two dimensions of Mechila. You want to say there's a dimension of getting forgiveness made Adam LaChaveroi, and a dimension of getting forgiveness in Adam LaMachim. But isn't it a little bit strange, because I think in the mind of the average person, it is much, much easier to get Mechila from Hashem than it is to get Mechila from Adam LaChaveroi. If Adam LaChaveroi we achieve forgiveness, it's all downhill, it's easy as pie to clap al chait, and Hashem will forgive us. If our friend forgives us, certainly Hashem will forgive us. And you're telling me it's not true. It may be easier at times to get mechila bin adam lachaveroi than to get forgiveness from Hashem. That's a chiddush to the average person. The average person, myself, if my friend is willing to forgive me for the terrible avera that I have done to him, certainly Hashem will forgive me for what I have done. That's not true. Yeah?
I told you the word from Schwab. There's one aspect that Hashem is not so easy to forgive, and that's Chilul Hashem.
the world, the fact that the world views this, the different dimension. Al arba lo yashivenu, al shloisha pishe, we learned it, we learned in Hosea, al arba lo shenu, al mochrom, tzadik, bavur, kesef, and bavur nalayim, that pasuk. And that alludes to Mechilas Yosef. No, it's not.
So your statement, maybe it has to do with that.
That's why, you know, what Mark said is exactly what the Abarbanel basically says, because I darshi three times it says, V'atol peyot spu, with an iron.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it now.
But in the future.
It'll be a heavy price to pay later, but I won't take revenge. But God will.
Will God take revenge for me, or will God take revenge for himself?
You have to make good. You see, you did an Avera. I forgive you personally, not necessarily forgive you, but I'm not going to do anything about it now. You will pay, but not now.
But the question is, you will pay. Why will you pay? Well, here's the dilemma.
Right,
you will pay because you have sinned to Hashem.
Nevertheless, you did an Avera, so therefore it must be that they didn't expunge his guilt. And that's what the Abarbanel goes in to say, that there's no such thing as were they in Golis 400 years? There's no such thing as doing a crime and not doing the time. So Avram didn't do any chet, and he didn't do anything that was for 400 years to be in Golis. There's nothing that he did. By Moedai Pi Roshenah was no chet. Nothing that Avram did was a chet. Everything that we were in Mitzrayim for the whole thing was down to Mechiras Yosef. That's all it was, only that. Nothing else, because they did a chet. Yosef didn't do anything. So the question remains, as you asked, was what is the deal over here? Did Yosef actually forgive them? And if Yosef forgave them, why do we still have to suffer?
So there's the element of an Adam Lamokim. But the question, the brother walking, okay, that's the question.
Right, yeah.
But that's a chiddush to most of us.
But he can't actually pinpoint and say what the thing, but that's what he says. We outfall pay yatsu. Obviously, we're paying for it, but everything we pay for is Mechiras Yosef.
Okay, but we have to appreciate this one, because it's not the way the average person walks into Yom Kippurim.
So what is the chait? The chait is very simple, that since we are, the fallout from it was the Avodas Perach in Mitzrayim,
yeah,
that we had to be slaves, so that we have to pay for.
But the Avodas Perach was the Avram Avinu. That's not Yosef.
Menashe could do tshuva via, his son could do tshuva himself before he dies, but this fallout from what he did, Yishmael did tshuva, but this fallout from what he did, we have the Arabs today. So you can't ever rectify if you bring up your child badly and then you do tshuva, so you've affected tshuva. But what you caused later on is still going to take place. You add this cause and effect.
Let's see how the words in the song. Let's see how he explains this. Halach yidal. Ein chassid el mishav al midos. Chassid is a person that is mavir al midos. He's forgiving. When people who have sinned, have caused you pain, they come in front of you, and they've done to you things that are not proper. The atah now, mischartim, these individuals who have caused you pain that you have regret, and they have in their hands the ability to make rectification for what they have done to you, hey, misaknim, they've made rectification. The al asher lo yuchel misaknim mischaitim vakshin michilos. Well, they cannot rectify the impairable damage. They ask forgiveness. The oimim lekabel din aleim kuchol asher yigzor aleim, and they say to their victim, "We will do whatever you want. Whatever you demand from us, we accept upon ourselves." Uchshiroy zasher biyod lasas lamura. And when this person sees that he has the ability to punish them and to take revenge and to bring upon them suffering, to punish them, and yet instead, forgives them, a person that has the ability to do so, has the stamina, has that spiritual nobility to be able to say, "I forgive you," repent. The Jews who have backslided. Okay, the word meshuva means the opposite of means those who have gone backwards. Do repent, the Jewish people who have slid backwards. V'loy apil ponai bochem. I will not cast. I will not throw, cast my anger against you. Here is the key words, the key source, chapter and verse of the Sefer HaChassidim. Ki chosid oni. Hashem says, I am a chosid. What does Hashem being a chosid have to do with Hashem's request that we do teshuvah? This is the crux of the issue. Hashem is teaching us, if you, Klal Yisrael, will do teshuvah, will sincerely regret what you have done, I will forgive you. I will not take advantage of your sins. I will forgive you. And thus, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am called, that's why I am called a chassid. Because the translation of a chassid is a person who is mavir al midoisav. Okay, this is a different interpretation. We learned yesterday in the halacha, we learned about turning white, and now we're learning another concept in what it means to be called a chassid. Another qualification is to be mavir al midoisav. Now, here we come to the real meat and potatoes. V'chein b'nei Yaakov, Klal Yisrael, kishechatu li Yosef, when they sinned against Yosef, mochal lohem. The Sefer HaChassidim is of the opinion. Everyone has an opinion on this man. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shimon Schwab, all the Gedolim Arayom Hazeh, such a controversial issue, but the Sefer HaChassidim says explicitly, V'chein, likewise, b'nei Yaakov, kishechatu li Yosef, mochal lohem. Oh, excuse me? Where do you know that? Where does the Sefer Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid know that Yosef forgave? It doesn't say anywhere in the Pasuk.
Yeah, but it says, Hashem chashavo l'tovo, so that.
But he didn't say the words, I forgive you. Okay, let's see. Vilo, so it appears to be, this is what he seems to be saying, which is an awesome, awesome chiddush. And you cannot ignore this. Vilo shileim lohem gemulam. The essence of forgiveness is not to take revenge. Talk is cheap.
Nekama.
Talk, it's not just nekama.
No.
You will always have a situation with a person who has caused you harm to either be good to them or
to retaliate,
or even forget about retaliate, do nothing. Do them the favor. Look, I know, okay, I have a person, I used to be in the same room with him in a certain place. And he would say the nastiest things to me. And these nasty insults, they still ring in my head. And I really, really had to control myself to keep my mouth shut. For me, it's very, very hard. Every so often, I was in a situation where someone, let's say someone comes in and says, oh, did you see him? I need to speak to him. And I know where he is. I know he went to the bathroom. I know he's in the other room. I know that he's not here today because I could just say, I don't know. Where is he? I don't know. Or I can say, oh, he'll be back in a few minutes. And I can get away with it. There's no question in my mind. And it was a struggle for me. Now, if I had a friend who wasn't the same exact situation and someone comes looking for him, you know where he is and you speak to him, yeah, he'll be back in a few minutes. Just went downstairs. He'll be back in a few minutes. This guy, I have issues with, you know. It's a struggle for me to say, yeah, he'll be back in a few minutes. What I really want to say is just, I don't know. He's not here. Okay, I don't know. What are you looking at me for? Because it eats me up. So if I would be able to control myself and say what about him the same thing that he would say about my friend, that really means I'm moichel him. Because to say to him, I'm moichel you, not that he's ever coming to ask you mechil anyway, but if he were to come to me and say to me, are you forgiving me? You forgive me? You moichel me? And I would say, yeah. Talk is cheap. What counts is my behavior. I'm not talking about doing him in, taking revenge. I can't do that because I know I'll get in trouble. So I'm not going to openly take revenge. But every so often I have an opportunity to just to be good to him, or to be parif, or maybe be even a little nasty. The actions speak much louder than your words. It appears from the Sefer Chassidim, if you really want to know what mechila is, you don't need words.
Do you have to do it?
You don't have to. If the situation, sometimes, whatever it is, it is. You don't have to. Whatever the situation, obviously, the minhag olam is to say, Amoichel, you obviously don't, let's not put that and make light of that. And who knows? We don't know how these things work. Maybe just saying the words, Amoichel, you, who knows how these things work? No one knows. No one can tell us how these things work. But one thing we do learn from the Sefer Chassidim is, actions speak much, much louder than words. It does not say anywhere in the Torah, anywhere, that Yosef said to the brothers, I forgive you. They asked from the, your father said that you should forgive us. They didn't really ask for mechila either, by the way. Okay? They never asked for mechila. They said that your father, what kind of mechila is that? We're not asking. Our father said, that you, Yosef, who think
right,
that they,
point,
but are we sorry?
They
were much too diplomatic. The brothers were very, very clever in how they asked Mechila. They should have said, Yosef, we have done made a terrible mistake.
That's the crux of the machlokis, if Yosef ever told Yaakov what really happened.
But they, the brothers never directly asked Mechila.
Right.
They never said in the pasuk, we made a mistake. Please forgive us. That's not what it says.
No,
it says, our father said that you should forgive the sin.
Yeah. We didn't do it.
Well, you and your corrupt way of thinking think that we sinned. So your father said, you, Yosef, who think that your brother sinned, so you should forgive that imaginary sin.
No,
but we never sinned.
I'm not saying that you're right, except for the fact that Yosef says to the brothers, this was all part of a plan, and don't concern yourself with it.
That's not a machila.
I understand, but that's the implication of what he's saying, that this was all part. I understand. That's why I said Yosef was
but
the
that's
only
not,
person who
right.
understood everything that happened in his life, why it happened.
Okay, whatever it is, one thing is clear. The brothers did not ask machila properly, and Yosef never gave them a proper machila in words.
Right.
In words. Yet the Sefer Chassidim says something that cannot be denied. This 800 years ago, I would say that he says Yosef forgave the brothers. How do I know? Look at the psukim. He never took revenge. Wow!
Right.
Not taking revenge is the ultimate mechila.
Although he did hide the cup in the
yummy
sack.
That was before. That was a whole different thing. That was before when
the
kin they came down. Yeah.
The dream come true. And he paid for that.
But the missing word is
yeah. He was punished for that.
What you did wrong.
Lost 10 years of his life.
You're saying very good. Okay, Mr. Glatter is saying very good that the word forgive is not the right word. It's forget. Can you forget what happened?
No, you're not asked to forget. The halacha of forgiveness is not to forget. It says, Dafka, you could forgive without forgetting. Don't be stupid. In other words, you could forgive,
okay.
But remember, this is what this guy is.
But it's a pretty big madrega.
Don't be stupid.
It's a very big madrega to forget.
Learn from it. This guy is
the average person. What?
We saw about Amasa Diego. Ein shicha lefnechi
seichev
odecha. I won't forget.
The average person, when you look at your chaverim, it's very easy for you. It'll take you only 5 minutes. I'll give you 5 minutes. I want you to write down on paper every insult this person said to you in your life. You look at the person, think about him for 10 minutes, write down all the insults.
I have nothing to do with
you'll be able to you, pretty quickly you'll be able to bring to memory you'll be able to bring to memory every insulting thing he ever said to you. Okay, now I want you to write down on paper. I want you to write down on paper every compliment he gave you in your life. You won't remember. It'll take you days, months, you maybe never remember. Why? Because a compliment, you know, it's not so sincere. It didn't really impact you. But when a person insults you, it hits hard. It says the truth. When they insult you, it touches you. It hurts. It's very hard to forget. Try to do this test. Do it with your own wife. All of the nice things, write down. You don't remember. You know, I did this. You never remember. But the insults, you remember. You don't forget. Mr. Glatter is on the mark. There's something about forgetting. If you really forgive a person for what they've done to you, it will be like a compliment. You'll forget. You'll forget it's not so important. It's a very deep idea, but you're saying it true. There are two different dimensions. There is forgiveness and there is forgetting. Okay, boys, let's go further. That's an awesome concept. Okay, can't ignore this. And this is the Shoresh HaChasidus. He's writing here, this is the root of Chasidus. Shetzorch la'asos lefnim mishur sadin b'chol dover shenemar v'chosid b'chol ma'asar. No, as I told you many times, the words of the Sefer Chasidim, Mr. Planik, please, it's hard to compete. Someone, the words of the Sefer Chasidim are very cryptic. He jumps in one sentence from one concept to another concept without any warning at all. And now he goes to another idea. This is the root of Chasidus, to do something lifnim mishuris hadin b'chol davar v'davar shnemar v'chosid b'chol ma'asav. The fact that the word chosid is associated with the word ma'asav means when Hashem gives you a mitzvah, He gives you a mitzvah. Don't just do the bare minimum. You can do the mitzvah with a little more hidur. A little more. You can daven. No, you can daven the minimal amount of davening, then you can daven a little bit more. There are things that you can say. You can buy a pair of tefillin. You can buy a pair of tefillin that's a cheaper pair of tefillin, more mehudar. They're both kosher. Everything is kosher. But a chosid is a person that wants to be mehader, wants to go lifnim mishuras hadin bin adam lachaveroi and bin adam lamokaim. There's another dimension to what is called a chosid. Each one of the ideas of the Sefer Chasidim, he backs up with chapter and verse. The first idea was based upon the pasuk of the hachasida, the non-kosher bird that is white. Targum. The second idea, he backs up with the pasuk over here of ki chosidani shuva. Mishuva Yisrael, repent, the Jewish people who have backslid. The lo apil panai b'chem ki chosid oni. What does it mean over there? Forgiveness, ma'avir al midosav. And the third idea he presents is the chosid. We say this in the Ashrei, the chosid b'chol ma'asav. The fact that the word chosid is connected to the word ma'asav teaches us when you do a maisa, when you do a mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're not satisfied to do the bare minimum, you're willing to do lifnim yishuris adin. That's also another dimension of the meaning of the word of chosid. Three, now we have even more. Before we go more, let's go hear some of the farshness, some very fascinating things. Locha Yud Aleph, in Bris Olam, okay, there's a parish here, and then this from the Masoid Harav Kuk. Okay, Masoid Harav Kuk, this is their edition. Their edition by far, in the little that I've come across, I've spent some time trying to get some swarm, is the best. Okay, this edition, the Sefer Chasidim, is out of this world. Okay, there are other, I have a fancy edition, but I really prefer to use this. The Bris Olam, V'chein Bnei Yaakov, K'shachatu L'Yosef Mochalohem. He's quoting what we learned before, he forgave them. What are you talking about? Mr. Rappaport touched upon this. What are you talking about that he forgave them? How could Chazal say, Amru Razal, Lemando Amar? What does that mean? Amru Razal, Lamed Mem, I don't know what that means. Who bezoy chodosh? The Golos Mitzrayim Hoyibavur Chait Mechiras Yosef. The entire Golos was because of Mechiras Yosef. That's a bit difficult because of the pasuk that says Yodoya Teda Ki Ger Yezaracha BeEretz Lo Elohem. How do we reconcile Chazal telling us that they went to Egypt because of Mechiras Yosef with what the pasuk says? You're going to go to Egypt because of the Bris Bein Abasarim. Avram Avinu did not have Emunah Hashem, and he said Bomo Eda Ki Iroshena. All right, let's leave that. The Gam Gezeras Homon. The entire Purim story, Amr Medrash, Rabba, Shibichet, Nechiras Yosef, Ayin Sham. Oram Asar Arugim Malchus, Bohu Asar Shvatim, Begilgul. Okay, this is Kabbalah, that the Asar Arugim Malchus was those people were Gilgulim of the Aseres HaShvatim. They were put to death as a punishment for Nechiras Yosef. The Kiblu Ansham, Gam Lufima, the Masik Rabbeinu Ma. Har Chacho, I don't know who this is. Al the Asar Rugi Malchus Hayu Asar Tibin. Okay, this little Kabbalah stuff. The Azrikinu Miyosef Elish Ashvatim Bo Biibor Hu Kabbalah. I don't know what this means. So he Mia Haya Havalitzar Gadol V'Chol Ze Kasha. After everything is said and done, we have a very big problem. Okay. Chazal very clearly
the 10
drops of shichva zera came out of his nails, fingers. Okay, these are very strange things. I don't know what these things mean. I have no idea. Any event, Chazal are very clear that the tzorois that we have suffered in Golis is a direct punishment for the chet of Mechira HaSoysef, and not to forget about what many Gedolim say about the blood libels. The blood libels that we've been suffering from, even Ad Hayom Hazeh, as bizarre as it may seem, is also said it's because of Hakerna of the blood, the Midah, Keneged Midah of Mechira HaSoysef. The Chol Zeh Kosha. All of this is very difficult. How then can the Chasefer HaChasidim Musum Minuvi's Mamor Chazal, how can he say that Yosef HaTzadik forgave his brothers? V'chol zeh kosher de'ein achar mechilas Yosef klum. Once you're forgiven, you're forgiven. U'kvar mochalohem mechila gemura. V'lom enenshu kol ha'kol kach. Why are they punished so much? And by the way, there's a sefer called Shalshelas HaKabbalah. Shalshelas HaKabbalah was the person who wrote this sefer was a Talmud Chacham and was also a historian. A very big historian, one of the ancient early historians, and he takes to task the Paitonim of Yom HaKippurim, Eila Eskera, and Arze HaLevanon. Those are the two piyutim that we recite on Yom HaKippurim and Tisha B'Av for the Asara Gemalchus, and it says there, especially on the one on Yom HaKippurim, that the reason why the Asara Gemalchus died was a kapara for the Asara, for the Mechiras Yosef. And the Shalshelas HaKabbalah says that the Paitonim Bodu Milibo, this whole period is a fabrication. Wow. It's a Baba Maisa. There's no such thing that a Kodesh Baruch would punish the Asura Gemalchus with the Chedim Mechiras Yosef. It's impossible. It goes against every principle of Hashkafa that we're familiar with. Hashem Lo Yumsu Ovois Al Bonim. No such thing in Klal Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch is going to hold many generations later for the sin which took place 2,000 years ago. This goes connected everything that we believe in. And we start going down this slippery slope of ascribing to all these mystical things of Kabbalah and these Hechere and Yanin, you're going to end up in a very, very dangerous place. You're going to turn Yadus into a religion of hocus pocus. And he takes the task, the Paitanim who have misled us, misguided us, by making this fabrication and writing such a piyut. So the Shalshelas HaKabbalah has actually siding, he holds the question as such a good question, that he challenges the Paitanim who made his piyutim. Ad kadei kach. Now, we don't
denying
accept.
Denying responsibility.
Exactly. What?
It's denying, in other words,
denying, very good, right. You're denying, you're not taking responsibility for your own actions.
Right.
That's a very, very big problem.
Don't we also sell our brothers all the time?
What?
In our own way, aren't we selling our brothers?
That's a different idea. Right. No, but that's not what it is in the piyut.
We're saying that we're continuing the chait of...
That's not what in the piyut of Eila Eskera that we recite in Yom HaKippurim is explicit. Rabbi Shmuel said the shame and he went to Shemaim and he asked them, is this true? What the Kesar said, that because of the 10, explicit, it's mamish, midu, k'neged midu, what they have done. How can you say that? This goes against... So,
question of this. Look, when Kesar invited the Asara Gemalchut and he asked them, your brother Yosef was sold for the pair of shoes.
Yes.
What is the law and regulation according to your option? Gonna be Shumcharov and come here, what you want? He asked them and they did Gezerah and Nemseh and asked Ishmael up and told Yahayavim.
That's not the simple understanding of the period. The simple understanding of the period is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, 2,000 years later, is going to punish 10 people for the sins of individuals that lived 2,000 years before. Not the Mekabel Din. It's a very simple translation of the period. They sinned and we're going to suffer. How can that possibly be? How can you say such a thing? Where you a person is responsible in the pasuk in the Torah? Lo yumsu avos al banim ubanim lo yumsu al avosam. It's a beferish pasuk. The Shalshelas HaKabbalah is very tough. He's very tough with the Paitanim. And over here, he's basically echoing what it says over here in this question over here. How can there's a contradiction between these mamor, these the Sefer Chassidim and the Maamar Chazal? So what does he say over here? V'lo b'nem shekol kach v'nira dehashvatim chotu b'shtayim. So this is what Mr. Rappaport is coming and told us. Rabbi Shimon Schwab, he discussed this in detail. This idea is that you have to always remember there is a double. This is a very big, important insight to take away from this halacha today. There is, every time a person does an Avera, there is a double sin. There's a sin in Adam Lachaveroi, and there's a sin in Adam Lamokoim. It is unfortunate that we fool ourselves in thinking that if we have Mechila, like Adam Lachaveroi, it's all good and fine. Everything is smoothed out. Hashem is so forgiving. We have all these Lamoi Chazal in our back pocket. And all Hashem wants is that we should be good with one another. The Dar HaFlaga, they were very good with one another. So Hashem didn't destroy them. He just dispersed them. But the Dar HaMabul, there was Hamas. There was violence. So Hashem had to destroy them. We like to pat ourselves on the back and believe that to be 100% true, that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once we forgive one another, there's nothing more that needs to be done. This is a terrible mistake. The sin, the rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam is still alive and well, and it must be forgiven. And in fact, it's even more difficult. Isn't that amazing? It's more difficult to eradicate the element of Ben Adam LaMokoyim than it is Ben Adam LaChaveru. It lingers on and on and on, and that is why this is not a contradiction. The Sefer Chasidim is correct. Yosef forgave them Bileiv Shalem. What's the proof? The proof is not in the words. The words are irrelevant. The proof is in the actions. He didn't take revenge. He had the opportunity to harm them. He could have said, okay, you know, get out of the country. We don't like you over here. It's an abomination for the Egyptians to look at you. So you know what? It's in your best interest to get out of the country. He could have done all of these things. And yet nowhere did he ever do any harm to them. And in fact, he was so good to them, he supported and sustained them. That is the ultimate mechila. However, we failed in asking mechila from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what's the proof? Look at the way they asked mechila. Look at the way. They said, our father instructed before he died that you should forgive your brother, you should forgive the sin of your brothers. We're not asking mechila. There's no mention of asking mechila. It's a roundabout, corrupt way of coming to ask mechila.
When they said Abol Hashemim Anachnu, that was not to Yosef, wasn't that to the Abishim?
No, and the Tsar we caused our father. The Mepharshim learned that we were 100% right. We just should have done it differently. We just should have done it differently. We should not have taken the kasanis and dipped it into the blood and said, Hakerna, look, Dad. Dad, look. Look what we got here. Your favorite son, he's dead.
They didn't do it. They sent it. The Lashon is by Yishlof.
That's even worse.
They sent it. They gave somebody else, or else they wouldn't have said, Hakerna, Aksonis Bincha.
Maybe they could have. So it would have softened the blow. If the children would come and break the bad news to their father, maybe that would have softened the blow. It was no good. It was no good all around. The whole thing. Everything was no good. Every angle that you look at this story, it is a cherpa. It is a cherpa for us. And the only one that comes out, even Yosef doesn't come out good because he allowed this whole thing to happen. But at least Yosef made the best of it. I did my part. I forgave them. The brothers still failed to ask a proper mechila from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's why we suffer ad hayom hazeh. That's the very important. So you're not going to see this. I'm telling you, this is a treasure. You don't get to see this type of stuff all the places. They sin against the person. He's saying over here very powerful stuff. Yosef is a human being. You don't sell a human being no matter what. Okay, there's no slavery among Jews. You don't do this, no matter how evil. Look at today, I'm going to talk about Pittsburgh, I'm going on a tangent. No matter how bad this person is, that's not the way you treat another person. That's not what you do. They probably view Yosef a lot worse than the people say about people in Pittsburgh. They viewed Yosef as a mesis umediach, as a threat to the whole Klal Yisrael. The people in Pittsburgh, believe me, were not a threat to the whole Klal Yisrael. Okay? They were not a threat to the whole Klal Yisrael. Here it says that they viewed Yosef Mamish as a threat. He's going to destroy the whole Klal Yisrael. And yet, the brothers were punished for the way they treated him. He's a person. He's your brother. You don't sell your brother. You don't humiliate him. You don't sell him. You don't try to kill him. You don't behave like this. And this thing, and even though Yosef was a tzaddik, He was a chassid. He was meichel them, but we never asked mechila from Hashem, and we never even really asked him mechila. He was meichel us without even us asking a problem mechila. Hey, in the mashapag be yisoid. Okay, hey, what does it mean yisoid? This is a Kabbalistic concept. Whatever this means is that Yaakov Avinu's children. Yaakov has 12 children. This is a Kabbalah. Hey, mechilul Hashem. Mr. Rappaport, you mentioned this. Ad Hayoyim Hazeh, the Goyim, they look at the Torah, and what does it say? It says, you sold your own brother. No, we understand why you can't live with one another. We understand why all the Jews are fighting with one another. They can't come together and anything together because, listen, nothing new. If 11 brothers can sell the 12th brother, it's nothing new. It's in your blood that two brothers can't get along on anything. It's a Chil Hashem. Shehoyelene Paro, Viha Mitzriim, and the Egyptians. So they did not know the details. Maybe they thought some story that he really wasn't their brother. They thought of him, he was just a wanderer. He wasn't their brother. He was a person. They found him. They chapped him and they sold him. And they didn't realize the depth of the sin. It's not likely that they didn't know the truth. It cannot be. There are no secrets in this world. Eventually, everyone finds out all the gory details. They made a movie out of it. They made a book out of it. Everyone at the end of the day knew exactly in Egypt, exactly. Listen, he was the viceroy. You don't know all the history, okay? The President of the United States, you know what he ate for breakfast when he was 1 year old. That's the way it goes. The first day a person is elected a public official, that's it. Everything that ever happened to this person is public knowledge. So it was different in Egypt. It wasn't different in Egypt. They knew exactly what happened. They were punished. I don't know what those words mean. And these are the wondrous ways of Hashem. Okay, look over here on the bottom, Yud Aleph, on the bottom Yud Aleph.
You are asking why Cain killed the heaven. The Umat Torah only going to Mechirat Yosef.
Cain and Hevel came to an end. We are descendants of Enosh. There's no more Cain in Hevel. Cain was killed. Cain was killed by who? Who killed Cain?
Lamech.
Lamech. There is no more. Lamech is a descendant of Enosh, I believe. There is no more Cain. Cain and Hevel came to an end. We are all descendants of Enosh. And Enosh produced somewhere down the line Noach. And we're all descendants of Noach today. Noach, Enosh, Adam. That's our Yichus. Gesundheit. Cain and Hevel are out. Noach, and Noach. There is only one exception. Naamah. Who is Naamah? Noach's wife. So Noach's wife was who? She came from a different side of the family. She came from her. We bring into this world different blood. I forgot how it goes. All right, well, let's leave for now.
Twins of the Cain.
So we do have Cain. Cain does exist, so therefore it's really a mix. It's a mix of man and woman. That's an important insight. We are come from two parents. Okay, maybe you're right to a degree. We come from two parents. Our father is our Noach, and Noach is Enosh. And where does the feminine side of the world come from? Namah. We have three children, Shem, Chom, and Yafes. Who do they come from? Noach and Namah. Noach is a descendant, Ben Achaben, from Enosh. Namah is a descendant of
Cain.
Correct? Cain.
Yeah.
So you're right, we do still have the feminine element of this world comes from Cain. Cain was a Rotzeach. Watch out for those women. Ooh, don't repeat that.
Whatever we quote here stays there.
Cain, it's an interesting idea. Namah takes us back to Cain. But Cain was
they didn't
biggest,
kill him.
Cain was the greatest Baal Tshuva. Cain did Tshuva. Cain knew, he taught the Lord. There's a lot of Moridika things about Cain. What Cain accomplished, brought to this world, is
awesome. אתם חשבתם עליי רע, אלוהים חשבו לטובו להיות למלוך למלך.
Okay, next. Yud Aleph, Ayin, Rosh Hashanah, Yud Zayin. Now we're in the very, very bottom of the special halacha. Yud Aleph, Ayin, Rosh Hashanah, Yud Zayin, the base. Bitchila, Tzadik, Ulusayf, Chosid. So what does that mean? It means that Yosef started out first as a Tzadik, and then he upgraded to being a Chosid. Okay, Bitaynis, Chof Aleph. In other words, a higher Madrega to be a Chosid than it is to be a Tzadik. Okay, it's a very interesting concept. That it's a higher level. Let's see further. Yarbikiva Nene Bibneshay Mavel Midoisa. Another example. Okay, Rabbi Akiva, when it was not raining, it was a lack of rain. So all the various Talmidei Chacham, they stood before the Omer, and they were mispalish to see when it did not rain, until Rabbi Akiva got up and he davened and it started to rain. And the Chacham explained, why was Rabbi Akiva successful in persuading Hashem? Mevakesh Rachamim, because he has the nida of being mavir al midoisav. It get you a long way. Being mavir al midoisav goes a long way in this world. Chay motzin shetamu shavkei. Rabbi Kiva lachasidusei. Rabbi Kiva, when he made a mistake, I don't remember the whole gemara, but Rabbi Kiva, once he got a pass. He did something that the Chacham did not like, and they gave him a pass. Why? Because he's mavir al midoisav. So they were forgiving with him. It's nida kineged nida. If you, a human being, are willing to be forgiving with another human being, nida kineged nida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mavel midois and will be forgiving with us. L'chein, Taurus Yosef Shem Chosid, Ayin Pesichta, wherever this is, Rosh Lachasidim, Bialkot Shlach Remesh, Remesh, listen, Yosef.
It's Esther.
Pesichta Esther. Yosef Roish Lachasidim. Yosef stands at the top of people in the category called Chasidim.
There's a list there of who are
of
these leading people in different categories.
B'yalkon Parashlach Remes Tov Shemem Dal Yosef Tov Asachasidim Sibu Piskol Periklam and Alf Samach Dalid Shoichi Toiv Perik whatever it is. Noach it's son Yosef. He all this sort of one. The one more Ois Gimel. Ois Gimel is. I don't know who this stands for. Heyish imochalacham eich amu b'zoyar chodosh. The same question we had before in the Bris Olam. The galus mitzrayim hoya bavur chay mechiras Yosef. V'chvar amdu al zeh b'zoyar chodosh. Eicha tzadi gimel kevod.
Hagon achidah.
Okay, fun. Okay. Kevon the ihi bochal man is leletave al choyve. If he forgave them, so why are we being punished? Uvidi tzayt say zayah sham ois bez mahalon. She Rabbi agoin achidokin in ze avsh mochal kavoide mochal harei ze bedine odon. Oh, he gives a new answer. Ali the shemayim chayev lahalon. Same idea. The same idea is that in a chanami the bedine odon a person is forgiven, but bedine shemayim there's still more. There's still an account. It's not exactly the same as what he's saying in the Brazil, but it touched upon the same idea, is that there are many dimensions to Mechila. There's a dimension of Bidine Adam, you've done what you're supposed to do in this world, but there's more to do. How do we rectify that? I don't know. But the Brazil is much more simplistic. You have to ask Mechila between man, and then you have to, don't forget to ask Mechila from Hashem. And that, in fact, can be more difficult than getting mechila from another person, because that person could be a nice guy. He's a nice guy. He's willing to forgive you even if you don't ask for forgiveness. But you still have a problem. You still have a deficiency in your neshama. You have to ask mechila from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that can be very, very difficult.
Alright,
we're up to Yud Beis. If Yer Hashem, will do that tomorrow. We'll take a short break and we'll talk more today about Shiduchim. I have some nice.
I was the same as the other.
I went to a divorce.